Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayechi. This week we have a new podcast from Rabbi David Levin Cruz. There is a handout for this podcast, so please check your podcast software to print it off if you can and use it to follow along. Rabbi David Levin Cruz is a member of the Pardes faculty and the director of special programs for Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levin Cruz.
Thank you, Larry. I actually haven't done a podcast for quite a while, and I must say it's a lot of fun for me to be doing it again. Hi to everybody who I haven't spoken to for a while. Hi to people who are new to the podcasts. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a young man in possession of a fortune should be in want of a wife. Call me Ishmael. These are the first lines of three famous books: The Tale of Two Cities, Pride and Prejudice, and Moby Dick. First lines have always fascinated me, especially when I studied English literature. What is an author trying to do when she or he starts a book in a certain way? To what extent and how do they set the tone for the book? In what way can the first line be seen as a harbinger of what is going to be later in the book? Last lines are also fascinating to me, and I brought the certain fascination with first lines and last lines to bear on a question that I've often thought of, and that is, what if I was Hillel or Shammai, and the person, the potential convert, had come to me and said to me, teach me all of Judaism on one foot? I may have decided to turn them away like Shammai did, and I have a certain understanding of Shammai, because what Shammai is basically saying is Judaism is serious and cannot be taught on one foot. I can't say, given my talkative nature, that I could ever have been as terse as Hillel. So what would I have answered if I'd had, say, 20 minutes to teach all of Judaism? This, by the way, is not theoretical. There's a program called Birthright, which I'm sure many of us know of, in which people are brought very, very often from minimal Jewish backgrounds to Israel for 10 days. And the people who created Birthright had to decide what is the minimum that we want people to know. And in fact, Birthright has a very complicated book giving the different minimum things, minimal requirements for a Birthright group. And I actually have addressed Birthright groups, but more as a conceit, I said to myself, if I had 20 minutes to address Birthright on all of Judaism, what would I do? If I had 20 minutes to chat to the convert or the potential convert, what would I do? And I think that what I would do is indulge in my love of first lines and last lines and teach them 10 psukim, 10 verses, the beginning and the end of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This week, of course, is Parshat Vayechi, the end of Bereshit, and this is indeed one of the lines we're going to be looking at. When I first started giving this class, I thought it was a cute idea, a cute way to teach people something. But the more I've given it and the more response I've had from people, and much of what I'm going to say is not my own ideas but is dependent on what other people have said, the more that I have done it, the more I've been convinced that there actually is something in this. That by studying the first and the last psukim of Bereshit Shmot Vayikra Bamidbar and Dvarim, we really can come to a Jewish theology and an understanding of Judaism that works for modern people. If you are looking at the source sheet, on the first page, I've just given it to you in order, in the order that is in the Torah. And certainly, if you're able to, you should play with it, do a chevruta on it, study with somebody about it, and try and work out what is going on over there. And on the second page, what I've given you is my understanding of what these psukim are about and how I use them to make a new, and I would say very appropriate to modernity, definition of what Judaism is. So my first principle is miracles. The book of Bereshit begins with God creating heaven and earth, And for me, these are the natural miracles. The miracle of life, the miracle of breathing, the miracle that the world works in a certain way. And the end of Shemot speaks about the tabernacle that had a cloud over it that rested by day and fire by night. And as Am Yisrael, as the Israelite people, wandered through the desert, they were given a cloud and a fire to follow. And literally, if you look at the Hebrew word for miracle, which is nes, what nes means is a flag or a signpost. A miracle is not only some way in which nature is overturned, but it's nature overturned for a reason. If I do, you know, I turn a $10 bill into a $20 bill, then that is a trick. It's magic. A nes is when something happens. God intrudes into nature, but God intrudes into nature in order to give me a blessing, in order to guide me, in order to take me somewhere. And in terms of this, the cloud and the fire are the quintessential miracle. So what we have in the beginning of Bereishit and the end of Shemot are two different types of miracles. The miracle of the everyday and the miracle of God's intrusion into history. A second principle is the principle of role models. While some religions have a central founder, like Jesus or perhaps Muhammad, who is seen to be perfect, what we have in Judaism are role models. And I think this is an important idea, the idea that we look to people and the way they live their lives in order for us to live our lives. Bereishit ends this week with the death of Joseph, who dies at the age of 110. And Dvarim, the very last pasuk in the Torah, speaks about Moses' death and speaks about his might and his power. Moses, of course, died at 120. And what's fascinating about it is 110 was an iconic age for Egyptians. If Egyptians wanted to say you should live long, they should said you should live to be 110. And of course, for Jews, 120 has become the iconic age. And this, I think, brings us into a very, very interesting idea about Joseph and Moses. And that is that Yosef is an Israelite who became an Egyptian, whereas Moshe was an Egyptian who became an Israelite. These two great leaders of early Am Yisrael are both people who traversed cultures, who had feet in different cultures. And I think this is also fascinating when we think of Jewish history and how much of our history has in fact been living in different cultures, trying to learn to be in two different cultures at the same time. Even in Israel today, there is often, am I Israeli? Am I Jewish? To what extent am I part of the world? To what extent am I separate from the world? And of course, in Chutz Aretz, in the diaspora, this is an issue that has always been of importance to Jews. So a second principle after miracles is that of role models. And I think what these role models are saying is that richness, depth, comes not from closing oneself off into one culture, but through traversing cultures, from going from one to the other and gaining from that tension. So we have miracles, we have role models, and a third value is peoplehood, Am Yisrael. Shemot begins with the names of the Bnei Yisrael who are leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim, and Dvarim begins with Moses speaking to the Am Yisrael and summarizing all the Torah for them. And I think we have here examples of what Rabbi Soloveitchik called the covenant of fate and the covenant of faith or destiny, or in Hebrew, Brit Goral and Brit Yehud. At the beginning of Shemot, this is something that happened. Am Yisrael decided to leave Eretz Yisrael because they needed food. This is history. It's fate. It's something that happened. Jews are part of it, whether they liked it or not. Whereas at the beginning of Dvarim, what Moshe is doing is addressing Am Yisrael and saying to them, this is the Torah that Jews believe in. This is the covenant of faith, not a covenant that we are part of whether we like it or not, but a covenant that we choose, a time that we say, this is the Torah, this guides my life, this is what I believe in. And I think these are two very, very powerful parts of peoplehood. There's the peoplehood of, I'm a member of the Jewish people and I belong to them anyway. And there's peoplehood of, Judaism means something to me. It's important to me. Miracles, role models, peoplehood, and next, revelation. And once again, with revelation and with the very last principle, with mitzvot, again we see a pairing of psukim and a subtle or not so subtle difference between the two of them. Vayikra, the opening of the book of Leviticus, is very interesting. It says, Vayikra el Moshe, and he called unto Moses, V'yedaber Adonai elav, and God spoke to him, Me'ohel Moed Lemor, from the tent of the meeting, saying, this is a very strangely structured pasuk. And he called to Moses, and God spoke to him from the tent of meeting. A more natural way to say it would be, Vayikra Adonai el Moshe, V'yedaber elav, and God called Moses and spoke to him. That is how the Torah speaks, says similar passages many, many times, and would make more sense. Commentators tell us that the reason the pasuk is structured in this way is to make it absolutely clear that God is speaking, that it's nobody else, that it's in fact God addressing Moshe, and the fact that it's in the Oel Moed, the tent of meeting, also makes this very, very clear. And this to me represents the written law, whereas the opening of the Bamidbar, which speaks, gives a certain date, and says that God spoke to Moshe Bamidbar in the wilderness. This, to me, is the Torah, that the revelation that then gets reinterpreted in the world, the oral law, if you will. I thought this myself, but once when I gave the class, somebody actually came afterwards and told me that there's a Hasidic tradition which says something similar. I've not actually found it inside. So if you do find it, please email me and tell me what the source is. That Bamidbar is talking about revelation as it happens in the world. That revelation didn't only happen once, but it continues to happen. Another way would be to think of it as the written law and the oral law, all from Sinai, but revealed at different times. The passage in Bamidbar is, of course, talking about the census. And again, this is something very this worldly, counting the people of Israel. This dichotomy, if you will, this comparison, is reflected in the last principle of mine, which is mitzvot. Vayikra ends, Ela mitzvot asher tziva Adonai et Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. These are the commandments that God gave Moses for the Israelite people on Mount Sinai. Again, very clear that this, well, that what we're talking about over here is mitzvot that came from God. But Bamidbar ends with Ela mitzvot mishpatim asher tziva Adonai biyad Moshe, from the hand of Moses. These are the mitzvot that God gave from the hand of Moses. El b'nei Yisrael ba'avot mo'av el yarden yericho, giving the place. Again, this is just before Am Yisrael is about to settle the land. This is the Torah, the mitzvot, this is the mitzvot that are developed as we live, that come out of the very real business of being part of the world. Again, the same comparison, mitzvot given straight by God, mitzvot developed as we wandered around and as we're about to live in our land. Again, I don't believe this is a trick. I really think that these are the five central legs, not only of Jewish religion and of Judaism, but even of Jewishness. Miracles, a belief in a God that cares and who intervenes. Role models, a belief that history is important. Peoplehood, an idea that this is not a faith that is theoretical, but is part of the history of a certain people. Revelation, again, the idea that God cares enough to speak to us. And finally, mitzvot, that all this theory is not of value unless it is enacted in history and in action. I also find it very, very fascinating that a lot of them have this natural, supernatural tension with miracles. You have natural miracles versus supernatural miracles. With peoplehood, you have natural, you know, I'm just part of history versus supernatural. I choose to be part of something bigger. With revelation and mitzvot, we have the written law or the given mitzvot versus those that have developed. In each case, a certain tension. With role models, you don't have it. But again, you have the back and forth of Egyptian, Israelite, Israelite, Egyptian. And again, I think this is a very powerful Jewish message that Judaism is a mixture between the natural and the supernatural, the everyday and the special. And both of these are of importance in value in our lives. So ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It's a truth universally acknowledged. Call me Ishmael. Those are beautiful opening lines. But if you want me to, and if you want me to say what is the greatest opening line, the most wonderful opening line, the opening line that I think means the most, perhaps, of any opening line in the history of the world, pardon my ethnocentricity over here, that line has got to be, Breshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, when God began to create heaven and earth. For it's that line to that led to all of this. As we complete reading Breshit this week, and we read the last line, let us ponder on what great books these are in opening and in ending and in everything in between.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.